The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
You heard Clay Markley, and there's a reason why you heard some Clay Markley, because he's got that look, and that look is looking at me from across the table right here because he happens to be in studio. What's going on?
It's so good to be here. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah. It's been a long while.
And we were just reminiscing about the first time I came in here, and I don't even remember how long ago that was.
I can't even remember, because it was so funny, because you were so young.
Yeah.
You were so pure.
Right.
You didn't have that body yet. And it was, you look amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know it's a lot of hard work. And it was so funny because I was telling you, it's like one of our kids, you know, has come home, you know, because we'd gotten your music first, and, you know, you were coming out of them, you know, you just got done out of Visible School, college,
yeah,
and you were kind of doing your thing, and you had your music, and you had your stuff, and of course, you know, and you ran over here, and it was like, hey, and, you know, and of course, you know, we wound up, you know, obviously falling in love with you and falling in love with your sound and stuff, and you know, and since then, you know, you kind of, you know, sweetheart, you kind of went on somewhat of a journey.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, you wound up, you know, sowing oats, you wound up, you know, going, you wound up going on tour, you wound up, you know, doing a couple things with different people, you wound up going through a lot of different elements, you know, of the business in your mind and stuff. And what's really beautiful is that you actually, it's kind of like Dorothy when she goes into the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
and you know, it's a yellow brick road.
Yeah.
And there's no place like home.
Oh, absolutely.
And so all of a sudden we've clicked our heels, haven't we?
Yes.
Oh, keep going.
You're a poet.
That's it. Oh. I mean, that's you know, it's so funny because that's the vibe I'm getting here.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't just agree with you more. It's been exactly that. It's been a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember after Visible School, you know, going with the label and the label, then me transitioning into being a performer being a bass, you know, touring bass player. You know, it was really cool to kind of see all that come full circle. You know, bass was my first instrument. It was my,
wow,
like they'd say, I had, you know, more of a natural ability on the bass guitar.
Yeah.
And I put it down for so many years, and, you know, I really started focusing on, you know, songwriting. Of course, I loved, you know, songwriting.
Well, yeah, and you're very awesome at it.
Oh, thank you. And you know, I put the bass kind of on the back burner, and it's just amazing how that made full circle. Because, you know, really, my goal was, you know, to be a bass player and hopefully get with a big band or something. That was like my childhood dream, and that's what brought me to Memphis. Like, I want to play bass for some band.
And see, and that was what was so funny, because now that you say that, I remember you going, so I came to Memphis, like, just out of the middle of nowhere, you up and left and came to Memphis, and it was because you wanted to come drink the water.
Yep.
You wanted the groove, you know, and all of that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, and it's, you know, don't sell, you know what, and for those of you that are tuned in, I'm talking to the coolest dude on the planet, Mr. Clay Markley. Look, you don't sell yourself short, though. You know, you want to be a bass player, that's awesome, and you should be a bass player. I totally get that, but please don't stop songwriting.
Awesome.
Please don't stop singing.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and you know, bass guitar led to all that. It led to guitar, led to us singing, and then of course, then again, performing and touring with Sarah Simmons and
Miss Sarah. That's right.
Yeah. It was absolutely amazing experience.
You guys looked fantastic out there. All the photo shoots and all the stuff I was seeing, I was like, dude, man, you guys look like rock stars.
Oh.
And you did. You pulled the part off, man.
We really had a system down. You know, by the end, we were pros. You know, we were able to eat well on the road and exercise on the road and take care of ourselves. And,
oh, wow.
You know, taking care of each other's gifts and saying, all right, hey, like, drink a lot of water.
Let's take care of ourselves.
Just learning how to, you know, be consistent from show to show, and just enduring the elements, like you were saying earlier. Learning how to deal with the daily challenges. Being on tour, you're doing a million things at once,
right?
And it all comes down to you. I mean, the team is as strong as its weakest link, and you really have to just step up. It's like, what can I do? And like, what am I not doing right now?
Right.
Like, are we not getting enough good content out there? Like, what are we doing that's interesting and that's cool and engaging?
Right.
How are we going to get people to the show? Like, how are we going to bring people to a show in a town we've never been and no one's heard of us?
See?
Okay, that's the real deal.
See?
Are you okay with playing some shows with 2 to 4 people in the audience?
Yeah.
You know, that's crushing, you know.
Drive
36 hours and through the night, and you get to a place and you break your back to get to a place, and no one's even like paying attention to the songs, you know.
Then
there's no one there, and it's just learning how to prevent that. Okay, how do we prevent that from happening? How do we prevent getting to a city and no one's heard of us and we have no fans there? How do we get them to come out and see a show?
And how do you do that?
Right.
So you have actually been doing a lot of soul searching, and you've been doing a lot of research.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's trial and error.
Okay.
It exactly that. It's just doing things wrong so many times.
So, let's take this one example, Clay.
Yeah.
You go into, you know, somewhere in Idaho.
Yeah, absolutely.
that's a good one, right?
Right.
Going somewhere in Idaho, and you've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, what are you doing? What would you do now? What would you do now?
Oh, okay. I have an answer. And it was a lesson we learned. We played in a town in Illinois, some farm town. A man had just would hire bands to come play on the porch for the little towns. He had people from all over the country coming out, and a lot of those bands were able to get people out to that show.
Oh, wow.
Even though it paid well, just getting attendance, you know, was the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And they all did it through press release. You know, contact, you know, in advance.
Okay.
Promoting in that town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain ways to target your audience and target that location with your promotions.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to do that through social media.
Oh, wow.
And then there's also just the old school way, sending emails saying, hey, you know, make it interesting. Okay, we're coming from this place and, you know, having a story. What's your angle?
Right.
You know, what makes you different and special, and why should these people come see you?
You know,
with us, it was like, hey, you know, Sarah was a top, you know, top 7, you know, of The Voice, and, you know, she's performed for some amazing people and millions of people, and come see why, you know.
Right, come see why.
Come see the gift for yourself.
Yes.
And so there's the angle, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then
contacting radio stations, the local radio stations. It's really work and preparation. People are just so eager to go play a show.
Yeah.
It's like, take the time. Okay, promote.
I'm so glad you're saying this.
Call people.
See, I don't even have to pull out any more tips and tricks for the rest of the day. I've got Clay with me now, and Clay's gonna set you straight. Good job.
And that's just me being dumb and making mistakes on the road. And
But you understand what they're worth. You understand what it's worth now.
Absolutely. That's
among God. That's the thing.
It was magical because I never saw that coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't foresee that. I didn't see...
You saw yourself going out there playing the road, getting on stage and making, you know, making fans and being a rock star.
Yeah.
Say it.
I wanted that for me. and that was the coolest experience, being like putting myself... It's like, you know, this doesn't all have to be about me and my music and me playing and singing. Like, I just want to... It'd be a blessing and like amazing just to be part of it.
Just to be part of it
and be able to contribute. And being a team player. Making the singer sound good. Not about me. Making someone sound good as best you can. Adding to the music. Adding to the band. Like being that team player.
You have so grown up. I feel like such a mom right now. I just want to like cry. I'm so proud for you. My God. That is the most...
Yeah.
That is the coolest stuff you've said in such a long time.
Just knowing that as a member of the band, your effort can create the success for the whole group.
Bingo.
That's just it. If everyone's working together, The opportunities are endless. I mean, especially if you got people who are motivated,
right,
and, willing to do the work and just believe in the project like you do.
Wow.
Those people are hard to come by.
They are hard to come by. They are hard to come by.
That's why really big bands and amazing bands are few and far between. At least, you know, in a successful standpoint.
Now look, when you were you know, doing your deal and you're out on the road and of course you're out with Sarah and of course you're still doing some stuff for yourself on the side.
Yeah.
You know, are you making those connections? Are you making those, you know, aligning yourself with those people and saying, you know, either, hey, what can I do, you know, as far as advice and stuff like that, one. Yeah. But also, two, you've got those groups and those bands, you know, that are the next tiers up, the next levels up and stuff. I mean, are you lining yourself up with them, too?
Yeah. That is, you know, the next level. It's getting with those bands. I mean, of course, everyone's like, well, how do I, you know, tour? How do I get, you know, bigger? How do I get my name out there? Mm-hmm. Of course, everyone wants to open up for a bigger band.
Of course they do.
You know, and that's the state of the industry. And unfortunately, the industry now is paying to play. Mm-hmm. A lot of those spots, you have to pay the big money to open up for that band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, unfortunately, is how a lot of the festivals are now, too. A lot of these, instead of bands getting paid, they're paying to play at those festivals and to be seen. They're paying big money to tour with that band and to be playing these sold out shows.
Well, that's the, you know, and it's so funny because that's such a taboo conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because everybody gets all pissed off.
Yeah.
And everybody gets mad because they're like, what do you mean I gotta pay to play?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, at the same token, let's dial it back for a second. This is something you learned.
Yeah.
You learned about promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You learned about, you know, marketing. You learned about publicity. You learned about, you know, radio. You learned about, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about the campaigns and what a marketing campaign would cost.
Right.
You know, versus.
Oh, that's what's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. What's fun with the cost is, you know, musicians have an amazing ability to do something with a little bit of money.
Sure.
And, you know, musicians being some of the most creative people. And
see
just there's so many different ways to do this for free, organically.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people rule out the viral video,
don't they? And it's and it comes up all the time, and everybody's like, look, you need to do this,
right? And hey, I want to see that funny stuff. I want to see stuff that makes me laugh and will draw attention. You know, it's push-pull marketing. Basically, 90% of it is engagement. You know, putting out something that's entertaining,
right,
or engages someone to respond,
right,
or something educational, interesting,
right.
And then I believe it's 10% just saying, "Hey, this is my music. You can find it here." Blah blah blah.
Right.
And it's funny because I really tested on myself. It's a lot of these pages I like on like Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I like them because they have funny videos.
Oh yeah.
And then all of a sudden they come out with a song, and I'm like, oh my god, I had no idea they were a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listen to it, and then you see they have a lot of likes and listens, you know, especially on the level of their other posts. And
right.
So that's a whole element a lot of people don't understand is.
That's another thing, and you've learned a lot. As far as you know, that type of style, as far as marketing and stuff. There's so many different things that you can do, you know, in order to organically grow, you know, on your levels. And what you're doing is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're doing is absolutely correct. And it's so funny because I guess my curiosity is kind of perked, you know, because you made we were talking right before we got on air, and you made the comment about, you know, coming back home,
right,
you know, and making base here, and obviously, you know, setting up camp, you know, so you can take care of your business and take care of yourself, you know, and obviously you've got some, you know, different gigs that are going. One thing I appreciate about you is that, you know, two of your gigs that you have going on is in reference to who you are as a person, as a creative, you know, and who you are, you know.
Yeah.
So it makes, you know, and you're the epitome of what, if you're going to dedicate your life to being this person and doing this is what you're going to do, then you try to wrap your whole idea around it. And so I know that you're at Orange Theory Fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you also do School of Rock.
I do.
And so with that, you're still in tune. You're still in tune with image. You're still in tune with music. You're still in tune with giving back. You're still in tune with teaching.
Yeah. No, that's amazing and rewarding. And I had an interview the other day with Mr. Donahue, and I was telling him about that. You know, for me, my life is music and fitness, and and I know that's really odd because they're you know, a lot of people don't see them coincide with it.
They should coincide.
Yeah, and for me, it's just equal. The discipline of working on myself and my mind and my body, that transfers into the music. That mindset of setting a goal and accomplishing that.
Right.
I can take that same tenacity and put that into my music.
Right.
And I really believe that makes me, you know, a force to be reckoned with. You know,
I try
to really work on my my mind as well, and that's the whole wellness thing. You know, for years I was a little intense with the exercise and the working out, really, and now I'm just striving to be healthy and happy, and and yeah, a couple extra pounds aren't going to kill me today.
You look fine. You look fantastic. Yeah. Shut up, dude.
So I'm more focused on happiness.
And, good for you.
If my diet and is making me miserable, then I need to change that diet. And just getting real with that. And yeah, that coincides with music and all the effort I put into that.
Yeah.
And I just believe I've found what I love to do, and every day I do it, and it makes me happy.
That's
and
awesome.
I think that's what it's all about. And you know, I was talking to my mom the other day. It's like a lot of my friends, I wish they had found the things that made them happy, and they put the work in to find those things they truly love to do.
And make you happy.
Because that gives you such purpose, and it gives you such, it just brings you so much well-being and happiness to be doing what you love to do.
Now, how'd you get rolled up into School of Rock?
I actually worked at School of Rock when I was in college.
Okay.
I worked for the one down here.
Yeah.
The Memphis location, and now I work for the one in Germantown.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was how that happened. Was when we were done touring, I started doing some blue collar work, and it was like back to the real world.
Yeah.
And I was getting beat up, you know, I was doing fence hanging, and I was doing lawn, you know, landscaping and lawn services, all that. And just getting beat up, making, you know, 10, 11 bucks an hour. And I'm just like, I feel like I could at least use some of my music or my love for fitness into something, you know, that I could ultimately get paid for and make a living doing. So, So I started to just think about, you know, the opportunities, and literally I just typed out a resume. I sent it to Mark, and nothing came of it at first. Months later, they were looking for a substitute, and since I can, you know, I can sing and play bass and guitar, I substitute. So if a vocalist is out, I can go, you know, so that come in handy. And
good for you.
It's cool to have, you know, some use in the work field, and just, yeah, I believe I'm super passionate about
that. Is so fantastic.
And being healthy, I was once 80 pounds overweight, and I can really relate to people that that want to lose weight, and how to get there, and the journey in that. I've been through that, so I feel like I have a spot in my heart for people that are trying to accomplish like fitness goals.
Yes.
I love that. That's fulfilling for me too, just to be part of it.
Yes, you know? Yes. I'll remember that too, because I've started my journey. So it's
awesome.
Yeah, I have.
You know what I love about working out is just the way I feel when I do it.
I might
feel groggy and might be really hard to get there, but as soon as the blood gets pumping,
it's all good.
And that feeling comes over.
It's all good.
Feeling good from exercise comes over. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. See, I've gotten back in the gym and stuff. I'm trying to get back to where I can get back to kickboxing because I did that for a long time. Absolutely. And I miss that. So yeah.
Well, yeah. You just let me know. I love to work out with everybody.
I know. So it's like I know. It's like we're totally going to make this total connection. Yeah. I know it's a radio show, but you know, hold on. These are actually some friends hanging out, you know, and stuff like that. But no, I mean, you know, for you to just kind of encompass, I talk about a lot of things on this show, mm-hmm. you know, and I do stuff on Monday nights and stuff like that too. And everybody is, it's so funny because everybody that tunes into Radio Memphis, you never know what you're going to get when you tune in. And it could be like Rick in the Morning. Stuff. It's like normally morning show, you know, the girl, you know, the guys that do the stuff, you know, and our fangirl show that we like to do on Thursdays, you know, the live music hour, you know, we got booze and blues, you know, we've got prog, we got metal, all this stuff. And I tell everybody, it's like, WKRP, you know, in Cincinnati meets Night Flight, you know, on air. You know, it's like there's never know, you know, you never know kind of what's going on. And but for me, I always have this anchor about you know, giving advice and talking about industry and talking about indie industry and talking about exactly what you're doing. And it's so awesome because the platform that you just laid out, mm-hmm. right, you know, has been very indicative of some of the things that we talk about here, in that, you know, surrounding your life, you know, it being your life, you know, it being, you know, your life's work, mm-hmm. you know, per se, and everything that you've done in terms of the research, you know, through trial and error, and you know, and the mistakes and stuff like that, and knowing that, you know, as far as the different platforms and stuff, and you know, Sarah Simmons, amazing artist, amazing voice, you know, and things like that. Here's somebody that was, you know, on The Voice, and here's somebody that had all the distraction and stuff, and you know, and she was having to do the same things, you know, because you're proof, you're part of her band in terms of, you know, trying to do that marketing, trying to do that promo, or trying to reach out to fans, you know, and things like that. Yeah, and so this is a real thing, right. and you know, and from the boy that showed up when we first got out of school. Yeah. You know, to where you are now, mm-hmm. the full circle moment has happened. I mean, so what do you plan on doing, Clay?
So my plan has, I want to be settled around Memphis, of course.
Of course.
You know, I'm a transplant. You know, I love that saying. I'm a transplant from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Memphis is my home. Mm-hmm. I know that because when I leave Memphis and go to Wisconsin, I miss Memphis.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I know it's home.
Yes.
But I absolutely love it here. I feel like I have a different perspective of Memphis. You know, I was born in a really small, you know, town, mm-hmm. city. And, you know, at the time, there was 3,400 people in there. So
yeah.
I always dreamed of being in a place where something's going on.
Right.
Like, I always dreamt of being in the city. Mm-hmm. Nothing too big and overwhelming. But and seriously, Memphis was exactly what I was looking for. And,
oh, wow.
As far as music goes, I don't want to be in Nashville. I don't want to be in LA. I want to be in Memphis.
Why would you say that?
Just the hustle and bustle. I guess here I feel like in Memphis, it's a city where everyone kind of knows each other.
Yeah.
And I love that vibe, and I don't think you can find that in Nashville and in LA.
Yeah.
At least not for me.
Not for you, and not for you.
And I just feel like this is home, and if, yeah, I mean, even when I remember when I was like single, you get to know all the single people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
it's such a small like city,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. you know, whoever parties, you know who goes out and parties,
mm-hmm.
you know, who works out, like mm-hmm. you know who you'll see at Overton. You know,
you'll know who you're gonna hang up with wherever.
Yeah, you know you're gonna run into a few people at Memphis in May. You're gonna see the people that work at Walgreens. You're gonna see them in the crowd having a good time.
Yeah,
you know that. That was like the first year I went to Memphis, you know, to Beale Street Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was like seeing Papa Roach or something, and
hell yeah!
And I look over and the guy who checks me out at Walgreens every day is rocking out and having a beer, and I'm like, this is such a cool city.
Yeah, you know? So you like it?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah,
the history here.
Yeah.
The history, it has like that feeling. You know, I guess I kind of, the only way to kind of describe is the first time I drove into New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
It's like this cloud you drive into, this atmosphere you drive into.
Right.
It's so real. It has like this aroma, like you can smell the history. You can smell like, everything that the city's been through, I mean, you can just pick up on it. It's almost like a sixth sense.
Yes.
And that's how I felt when I came to Memphis, too.
Same.
Just getting that vibe, especially around Sun Studios area.
Look at you.
You know, for me, a lot of stuff happened in that little area for mm-hmm. me. You know, I rehearsed there and had parties and shows there mm-hmm. and all in that area. And I worked at that bar at Kudzu's right there. Mm-hmm. I did the open mic there. It really got my start in music here. This is where it all happened, and this is where I got my start, and I came here mm-hmm. to do that.
And you came here to do that.
And 10 years later, I've been here 10 years now, and a little jumping around, and I call it home. And
that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's funny because, you know, and it actually is cool that it shows up on an Around the World show, you know, since we play music from everywhere else. There's a thing, though. I mean, everybody has this thing about Memphis. Mm-hmm. And they have a thing about the vibe of Memphis mm-hmm. and the music vibe of Memphis and the sound. And you're talking all the stuff, the culture, the history, the background, the vibe, you know, and all of it. And there's something kind of, you know, crazy cool about what it is that you get from here. Right. I always like to hear what everybody's version is because it means, you know, it means so much, it means so much to everybody else.
You know, the scene around here, I just feel there's a part of town that accommodates every lifestyle. I really do.
They do.
You know, if I want to see some, some awesome bands with lights and sound, the great sound and mm-hmm. production, mm-hmm. You know, I'll check out, you know, Minglewood mm-hmm. or Lafayette's. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, I played at Lafayette's a few times, and mm-hmm. I believe they have a lot of good music come through there.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And the production's great.
They do.
The sound's incredible.
They do, because Julian's in charge.
Yeah.
Julian Talley, he's all about the music and stuff, so he's a good man.
The vibe there's great. I like mm-hmm. Overton Square, of course. You mm-hmm. know, I'm more of an alt guy, you know. I'm an alternative breed, but
yeah,
I still
you are.
Like to hang, you know, I like to hang in that area a little bit, and of course, you know, the Midtown is the coffee shops. I played at Alder Lane's a couple times. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like all the artists kind of were hanging out there, all the aspiring songwriters. And,
absolutely.
And just learning from each other there. And I've had great experiences in the music scene here, just ups and downs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like with anything. You know,
absolutely.
I had an open mic at Kudzu's for a couple of years, and it's funny, I still run into people that came or mm-hmm. you know, one night or something. It was just such a dive bar and a
but
cool
that's
place.
That's where the cool stuff starts.
Yeah,
that's where cool stuff happens.
And you can make mistakes or be goofy on stage.
But you don't know. But see, that's the thing, though, honey. Yeah. Is that you don't know who's listening or who's you don't even know who's going to be walking in.
No.
This is Memphis.
You're right.
You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
None. You know.
Yeah. And. You know, and then, you know, Beale Street, that's a whole entity of its own as far
as
the music scene.
It is.
You know, I played on Beale once, and I actually got kicked off the stage because I wasn't playing cover songs. And I remember they told me to play a cover, and then the next song I played a cover song, but it was one that no one knew. And I just understand, I'm like, at that point, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this is where I should be playing. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
You know, I'll play covers here and there, but as far as being a cover artist, then that's not really me.
That's not what you're gonna do.
I have trouble. Really hammering other people's songs.
Yeah, because you want to do your own.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to do your own.
Of course. I write all these songs. I'm going to play them, of course. But
so
I appreciate good music, and if it's a good song, I'll play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's, like, special for me to do a cover, you know?
Well, of course
like,
it
take
is.
To take the time.
To take the time to learn it,
yeah. And that's that means that song's very special to me. You know, but then as soon as I play that song, everyone's like, hey, do you know some Red Hot Chili Pepper? You know, it's like, hey, do you know this? Hey, do you know that?
I'm not a jukebox.
Right. that seems to be, you know.
Right.
I had, you know, experience playing in, you know, on Main Street. That whole area is just awesome and beautiful. And,
wow.
Really enjoyed, you know, playing at the Green Beetle.
Yeah.
And just... making the rounds. I think I have a story. Yeah, of every
you do.
Place
you do.
At.
Well, it's almost like you've also started kind of quite collecting kind of a story thing about the city itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And inserting yourself in several different places. Yeah. You know, and it's through your art, your creativeness, and your music.
Right.
You know, and it's so funny. I'm still looking at you though, and I still feel like you're it's like you're searching for the Holy Grail for something, or you're searching for the answer on something.
Right. I don't know if it's a personal vendetta. I don't understand. You know, we were talking about that a little bit before the show. It's where does this passion come from? Yeah. Where is this motivation? Yeah. Where does this desire to pursue come from?
Yeah.
And that tenacity to not give up, you know, to keep going. Where so many, you know, others might just say, okay, that's enough. And you just, for me, I'm not going to say I've been consistent. You know, I've gotten knocked down and I've stayed down for a minute or two, you know. But the thing about me is I've gotten back up. And and even if it's a year, 2 years, I've gotten back up, and I can't put it down. And that's the love-hate relationship I have with music. It's been very good to me.
Yes.
And I believe in sometimes it was the only thing I had, you know. At times, it was the only thing that was keeping me going.
Wow.
And I remember living in a practice room at that Memphis rehearsal complex.
Wow.
No heat in the middle of winter, and the internet went out, the heat went out, and then shortly thereafter, the water. You know, my friend Rob was letting me live there at the time, and the only thing that kept me going was the label, was Lear Music.
Wow.
And the hopes and dreams of maybe making something of myself and being heard. And I think that's still with me today. I still feel like I've fought so hard, and I've endured it. I've endured it here. I remember I lived for a short time. I lived above this bar called the Chunky Monkey.
Yeah.
This old tattoo parlor. And I had roommates. First night I lived there, it got robbed. The man broke the front window and stole all the beer from down the stairs in a mop bucket, and he was dragging it down Beale Street, apparently.
Oh my God.
Handing out booze to people from the mop bucket he stole. And, and I remember my roommate, I don't know what they did, but it wasn't very good. And I wasn't, you know, I've been in some dark places, you know.
Wow.
I lived that here in Memphis. I lived the life of an artist, a struggling, starving artist. I worked at Kudzu's, and I'd make enough to eat, and that's about it, and pay my, you know, $50 a week, and, you know, that was it. That was my life for a while. But in those times, it was still good, because I had, the music kept me going, and it really brought me through just difficult times. You know, I didn't leave school well. I lost my good friend, Sean Reeder.
Yeah.
And after that happened to me in college, you know, my friends and I, it was hard on us. And it was harder on us than we realize.
Wow. You didn't realize the impact.
We didn't realize how much of an impact that had. And, you know, when I left school, I don't think I ever realized how hard that was on me. And I think then I thought maybe the school didn't understand what I was going through exactly. Especially with my past, you know. I was, you know, sober for 5 years.
Yes.
You know, when I was in college. And when my friend passed away, I started to go back to my old lifestyle.
Right.
And that took me there. That took me to that tattoo parlor, and that took me to the floor of the MRC, you know?
To those crazy places.
Through those crazy places and through those rough, dark times. And, you know, overall at that time, you know, I had lost my faith completely, and I was lost, you know? But for some reason, that label helped pull me through.
That's fantastic.
That saved my life. And, you know, I really owe them a lot. They took me off the street, you know. They housed me and fed me. They gave me hope when I had nothing. And, you know, I really will never be able to repay them. I won't, you know.
You can, but you need to succeed.
Yeah.
And you need to not quit.
Right. And I didn't you know, leave on the terms I wanted to leave on. I really didn't. I wanted to at least, you know, have some resolve or a conclusion. I just guess I wish they knew how much they helped me. And
you can still do that.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, but from there, yeah, it's just been such a journey, and music has kept me alive.
See, that's really that's fantastic. Yeah. You need to. My prediction is going to be that, you know, until you make those resolves,
yeah,
you're not going to be happy,
right?
But you can. You're in a fantastic mindset right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and that's the thing. Sometimes you can't make things right overnight. Sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it takes your actions, and you know, some things aren't solved overnight. So it is a journey, and sometimes we want the answers immediately, and we want that instant gratification.
You want the gratification immediately.
Yeah, but
and it doesn't happen that way.
No, it's not the way life is. Sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes it's all through action, right? Because
it is.
We all know talking gets you nowhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have a song.
Yeah, that's right.
You do.
I do.
You do. And what would be really cool, and those of you that have been tuned in, you know, I've been hanging out with Clay Markley, and we're going down memory lane, and we're actually, you know, we're coming full circle, and we've clicked our heels, and we have figured out there's no place like home. Mm. You are still very inspired. You're still writing, and you're still doing your stuff. You've got some singles out. One of the things for you, biggest lesson so far. And this mini circle journey you've just been on,
man. I think the biggest thing is just getting back up, you know, after you fall down.
Yeah.
Just never say no. Like I was saying earlier, just if there's an opportunity, just go for it. Don't ever think you're too good for an opportunity, and just don't say no.
Just don't say no. That's
unless it's incriminating to
unless it's against the law and it's incriminating and it's gonna make put you in a worse spot.
Within reason, of course, but yeah, just saying yes. If someone has an opportunity, take it. You know, like they say, attack at the corners. Just start there and work your way in.
Wow.
And then lastly, it's all about the work you do. It's all about the pen and paper, the emails, the phone calls, going the extra mile to communicate to people. And sometimes you got to tell them your story. Sometimes you got to be like, hey, listen, you know, check out my song. You know, it took me a whole lifetime to get my own single out. Like, this means a lot to me.
Yeah, please
check
it
out. Like, and that's not a lie. That this is my lifetime debut single, and it means a lot to me when people listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care if they don't like the song. Them just listening to it, just that is support, and just lets me know I'm not alone, and it's very encouraging.
Yeah,
and encouragement can be very hard to come by.
They can be. It can be
in the arts and entertainment, you know, field.
Well, what's so funny is that the strangeness of this is that you're talking about music. You make it sound like you're a debut artist and like you've never done this before.
Yeah.
But is this the equivalent of this is almost kind of like a rebirth thing for you?
I would say so. I would. This is the first time I'm in the driver's seat. This is the first time I'm the captain, and I'm calling the shots.
Good for you.
And if I fail, it's because I failed, and it's because I didn't work hard enough. I mean, that is why it's different for me, and it is a new beginning completely. I'm starting from scratch. I started a new Facebook page. I started everything from scratch, and I'm saying I'm going for this.
Mm-hmm.
And starting over again, but like this time I never thought I'd have the power to do that, to start over again. And I'm just like, okay, I got this song. I really, my ambition is just like, I want to be a one-hit wonder. Okay, that's my goal. I just want to get one hit song, And I don't know why. Okay, I don't know why we need to be heard so bad. I don't get that. I guess that's part of being a musician or an artist.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. You want somebody. You want that. You want the. You know. You want that reassurance that you know it was good. You want that. You know.
Journey. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our mission. Okay.
Yeah, I could tell. I could definitely tell.
And we all are, right?
Mm-hmm.
That mission to be heard. You know, through your expression, it means something to someone. You know,
wow.
That this passion and all this hard work was for something. You know,
wow. You're ready to do something with that.
And that's what the song's all about, right? It's just unlocking, you know, saying something in a way that someone else couldn't, or saying something they've been saying for years.
Right.
You know, that's what the amazing thing about songwriting is. It's the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. You know, when you like a song and someone else likes that song, you instantly have camaraderie.
You have
and
a connection.
You've learned something about them. Mm-hmm. That song means something. And if they like it and it means something to them, you guys have something in common. Like, yeah. Oh, I was struggling with this and this song really helped me. Me too.
Right.
You know, Sarah had a lot of experience with that with her fans on the road. Just how they united through their struggles and why they like certain songs. I saw that firsthand. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. So that's why I really appreciate meaningful music, of course.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You gonna play that song for me?
Yeah, let's see if I can.
Yeah, why don't you say it? I don't know. The thing should be somewhat in tune.
This is quite the guitar here.
Look, that guitar was a gift when we first got started. When we were still at the house.
Oh wow.
Yeah, when we were still at the house. Let's see here. You feel like you got it?
Yeah, I just gotta get the guitar in tune, but
that's
I was actually planning on singing it a cappella.
Okay.
Alpaca. A cappella.
Yeah. You didn't realize that D was gonna give you a guitar and put it in your hand and go, now let's do this route.
I might just have to freestyle. Can see if I'm any good.
Seeing if you're any good at what?
Singing on the spot.
I mean, yeah.
I think I might have actually got in tune.
Yeah. See, it's not a hard guitar to get into tune. We've had a lot of people that actually, when they hear it, they're like,
I'm impressed. With myself. At least it takes me about 20 minutes. That's in tune enough, right?
Well, I mean, is it in tune enough
for
you?
All right. Tip of the tongue. There are many reasons I found. Reasons keep my mistakes I made. I'm feeling kind of feeling so strange. In everything, in every way, I tried my best to live that day. Yeah, anyone out there, I'm waiting for you. Problems I've made, acting kind and feeling so strange. There are many reasons I've found, yeah. Reasons keep my feet off the ground, yeah. In everything, in everything.
How about that? That's awesome stuff right there. Wow, man, that was a lot of feeling in there. Say hey to Facebook Live.
Did I sound okay?
You sounded fantastic. Are you kidding?
If I'm live, I hope I was on.
Let me finish that video real quick. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a
fun song for me to play. I feel like I can get into it.
Yeah, you can.
I think all the years playing bass, I created a really physical element to playing.
You did.
I feel like when you can put your body into it, you can, you know, at least.
When you're singing though, I mean, what place do you go to in your head?
I'm like, oh shit, am I flat?
That's what I'm asking. I mean,
but no, I guess when I don't think about it, it's better. I guess the zoom in, zoom out aspect. I'll never forget. I used to read this book called Zen Guitar.
Okay.
And it said sometimes you have to zoom out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can zoom in and focus on every note and every single nuance of your voice, or you can zoom out and kind of view it as a whole.
Yeah.
And I think me just thinking about my next move kind of distracts me. So it's like, oh, am I going to the pre-chorus here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I forgot the lyrics. What am I going to say? Because that happens to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I sometimes forget the lyrics and I'm like, okay, what am I going to make up? So I'll make up something before I get there.
And before you do whatever.
So that helps me. That's my trick, thinking about the next part.
Right.
And it kind of takes me out of looking at my fingers and, oh, am I playing that one note right? It takes me to... Yeah, just the next progression.
So, okay, so let's take this into another funny place.
Yeah.
If you show up at School of Rock, and you know you're asked to be the vocal teacher, okay,
yeah.
And you're working with somebody, and they're trying to get their start, and they're trying to learn how to sing, and they're trying to find their place or find their voice. What are you going to tell them?
It really is going to come down to what they like.
Mm-hmm.
First, it's like, oh, what kind of music do you listen to?
Mm-hmm.
And what song are you really enjoying? You know, what about that song? It's like, oh, I really like their voice. I really want to sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, going from there, like, oh, they really like this artist. We're going to listen to some of their music and, analyze, their voice a little bit and their styles. And then start talking about their style and what makes them so unique. And then practicing those elements and taking those and putting them to something else or as an original. Sometimes, the student likes to play guitar too. And that's when you can kind of step in and be like, well, awesome. You could be a songwriter. You know, for me, because I really like to tell that to kids. Because kids don't know if they're a songwriter. I never knew I was a songwriter until I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back to my life, I'm like, oh my God, I've been writing since I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea I was a songwriter.
You didn't know. You didn't even know what that meant.
I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that. I didn't. I thought that was a foreign concept, and that's not something I could be. So that's why I like to say, oh, you like to sing and play guitar? Well, okay, let's get you doing that. I want you to learn a song where you're singing and playing guitar at the same time. I don't care if it's just diamond notes, just playing one note here and there, just getting a start.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can sing and play, it creates a very physical element. You're playing guitar and you're singing. It's very expressive, and it's an amazing feeling a lot of people may never get to experience.
Right.
And especially when you're belting it out and really putting yourself into it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing experience. But, with the kids, it's, beginning with the fundamentals, teaching them the notes and the alphabet and of music and the language and just the basics, and then going from there. The biggest thing is keeping kids entertained. Because a lot of the time, kids come in and they don't realize how much work it is.
Yeah.
With anyone. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take guitar lessons. I'm going to take one lesson and I'm going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the general mentality.
Of course it is. I'm going to be a rock star. Right. I'm going to get on stage.
Take two lessons and I'm going to be great. My girlfriend teaches vocals at Guitar Center.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's, you know, was telling me, you know, some of her experiences, and this, you know, someone came in and they wanted to take 10 lessons, every day, because they are singing at a church 2 weeks ahead of time. And it's like, it just doesn't work like that. Mm-mm. Like, you know, that's how some people think. And mm-mm. And it even happened to me when I first started playing guitar. This is too hard. This is way, I didn't know it was going to be that much work. I just thought I was going to pick the thing up and be awesome.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah, that was the story for me with guitar for years and years.
And then you had to learn how to love it.
I have to sit down and learn something and put in some work and mm-hmm. make my fingers bleed
and make it all work.
Yeah, dive in. So.
Make it all work. I'm so glad to see you in this state of mind.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It really is.
Well, you know, you're always welcome here.
Yeah,
We've always got something going on. We've always got stuff, and I already told you. You know, we've got, you know, stuff as far as recording. We got whatever. You know, people in and out. I mean, you know, this is. You know, we have several people that come down here that this is like, if they just need to get into the vibe of something.
Yeah.
They're like, can we just come to the studio? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you're always welcome here.
Well, thank you.
You're always welcome.
I feel at home here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're always more than welcome. You can come down. And in fact, you know, if you wind up, you know, working up some stuff, you know, and, you know, getting some, you know, some things together, you know, you can bring Sarah, you know, whatever. You guys want to do a jam one night?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do that too.
You know, still work with Sarah mm-hmm. and Greg and we all live in, you know, in the same town, and
yes.
You know, and it's great. You mm-hmm. know, we're all in Cordova.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we're real close.
Grab, snatch everybody up one night and stuff. You know, we'll figure out a time, or, you know, maybe something fun. And you know, because what we'll do is, like, we like to bring food and stuff, and, you know, we'll make it a little fun, you know, kind of a hangout and stuff like that. And we'll, you know, if there's an evening wherever it's like, you know, like round tables, you know, singer songwriters and stuff, and, you know, live on air and stuff, and just tell everybody to tune in and hang out with us and stuff. We'll make a party out of it.
That sounds great.
See how cool that works, though? It's like, I didn't even have to ask anybody.
Right. Yeah, you can just do whatever.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. See, how cool is that?
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And just like 160 countries tune in and listen to it.
I just want to give a shout out to my friends, Allison Reeder, Sam Reeder, who are tuning in, and whoever else tuned in.
Yeah, I saw the message that you put out to everybody.
Yeah.
You told everybody that you were going to cry.
I almost did, actually.
I know. And I was like,
oh, no.
I know.
I almost did cry, too. That's funny. No, I'm charismatic. I'm a very passionate guy. And
I love it.
I'm emotional.
I know you are.
If my feelings are in it, like, look out. Like, I get very passionate about things, and my girlfriend can attest to that. It's whatever I'm doing, I'm into 100%.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's just learning, you know, learning myself. And
perfect.
Geez, sometimes I'm a bit, I gotta check myself and not be so sensitive. So
you stop it. You're whatever. Dude, you're creative.
Yeah. So everyone listening, I have that song Reasons out. Check out my Facebook page. Just basically, that song's available everywhere. Mm-hmm. I released it for free, too. So the only places that kind of make you pay for it, I think, are iTunes. I tried to get around that, but they're still charging people. So
right.
I don't know how that works. I signed up to be zero, you know, $0. So.
And make it work that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clay Markley Music, of course, if you're on Facebook and stuff like that. You've also got some, I saw you got a show.
Yeah, I'm doing a show at Canvas on next month on the 14th. That's March 14th, 8 p.m. I'm gonna be playing, doing the single release. Plan on having, you know, download cards, stuff like that.
Right.
And then D. McKee and the Freeze playing. So it should be a great night. It's just, you know, I'm sure the weather's gonna be pretty nice, and
it's gonna be fantastic. Time. Are you kidding? Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
And, it's still kicking with the Canvas crew. That seems to be the only place I play nowadays.
What?
I haven't really played out in a while. It's been a long time.
It sounds like you need to maybe, I don't know, change that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe?
We'll see. I just hope, you know, people come out. That's it.
They will.
And, you know, I know how to do that.
See?
I should know how to do that by now, right?
You do know how to do that right now. Well, listen, sweetie, thank you for stopping in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Are you kidding? Anytime.
Like I said, a blast.
Absolutely. And you got my, you know, you got my number. You got me on social media and stuff like that. You got anything coming up? Just say, hey, D, what's up? You know.
Absolutely.
You got it. You got it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Clay Markley hanging out with us. And if you happen to have missed it, it's okay, because we'll probably have his interview up for On Demand, you know, a little bit later on in the week and stuff like that at radio-memphis.com. So you guys, don't worry. There's nothing, you know, you don't have to sit there and get all crazy over it, because everybody's going to be like, I missed it. But, you know, either way, you can tune in to radio-memphis.com. You can actually go to our website and stuff, and we'll have that for you.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.